Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. Mm-hmm. It's the Purple Pants. Yeah, yeah. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News Edition, episode 367. Dig deep. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Survivor News. If you could be so kind to ensure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And as always, with your Survivor News content, you can watch this audio podcast on video. Head over to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel, click subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think about this week's episode. I'm excited to be joined this week with Wendeezy, Jack Atkins, and Alex Brizard from Netflix The Circle Season 4. We are here this week talking all things Banu and what happened there. We're talking tribal. We're talking the challenge. We're talking whose beware idol is this that I found? So much. So listen, let's get into this week's Survivor News.
Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News.
Survivor News. Survivor News.
Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News. Survivor News.
Dot, dot, dot.
Guys, how are we doing today? Welcome back to another episode of the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News. We are cracking into episode 4. And as always, I got the baby boys with me. the first merge boot of Survivor Winners at War, but you may also know him as the winner of Survivor Ghost Island, the boy Wendell Holland. How we doing?
Doing well, doing well. How you doing?
Doing well. I guess I'm doing the intro today. As always, your glorious leader, the one and only Bryce Isaiah. How are we doing, Bryce?
I'm wonderful. What's popping?
What's popping? And then I guess the reason I'm doing the intro today, because we got my main man from the circle hopping in with us to do a Survivor breakdown, Alex Bizarre from the Circle Season 4. How are you?
I am doing well. I do need to be honest with you guys. I did tell the other tribe that Wendell was a really good player, and I did say that Jack and Bryce were really close. Was that bad? Should I not have done that? Was that not a good thing to do? Because I did do that, though.
Yeah, guys, let's vote him out tonight. Alex is out of here.
No, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad I told you guys before we got on here. We have a lot to discuss, good, bad, Banu. We got a lot, so I'm excited to be here.
Yes, it is an episode with a lot of discussion that we need to talk about. But before we get into all of that, you know, Alex, we got some house rules and some house announcements that we got to get through, because the Bryce and Wynn Tour 46 is officially kicked off. We have New York done. We've got DC done. And we are headed to Pittsburgh April 3rd. And Pittsburgh definitely shows up. And so listen, if you know Pittsburgh, you know. And then April 10th, we are headed to Dallas. This ain't Texas. And so we have a lot of surprise and special guests coming to Dallas. So if you haven't already, take this as your sign to click the link in the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram or Twitter and bless your life with some BWP Tour 46. Wynn DZ, what you think?
I think both of these dates are going to be great. The tour only gets better and better as we go. So Pittsburgh, we got some great surprises. Dallas, same thing. We've been putting together our all-star lineup for both of these places. It's going to be great. And all roads lead to the finale, Bryce.
Oh, yeah.
It's a destination in New York City. You guys need to come get some hotels, stay for a couple of days. We're going to have multiple nights of events. And each and every event leading up to the finale is going to get bigger and better until we get to
So don't disrespect Boston, because Boston comes in with a force. And don't you dare disrespect Philadelphia, because those stops are definitely stops that, you know, if you can make it, come out and experience the fun of a Bryce and Wynn Present event.
Chicago.
Oh, ish. Which I seen that Uber driver. But yeah, Chicago is going to be one heck of a time. Before we kick things off, Alex, I do have a question for you.
Yeah, please.
Do you know where Kate Middleton is?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've been on Twitter. I've been doing my detective work. I was actually going to ask you guys, do you think it would be easier or harder to find Tim on this season? I was wondering, like, Kate or Tim, it might be a little difficult, so we'll have to put on our detective hats.
Alex!
Tim, if you go to one of those challenges...
Yeah, that's true. You see Tim in the challenges. It's not a body double like the TMZ photos of Kate. So, gosh, I don't know where she is. Honestly, it's probably just the worst PR disaster.
So I know this is Survivor News, though. But Alex, have you ever seen The Crown?
Yeah. I'm not finished, but I mean, right. I guess I know the history of it all. So, spoilers.
It's crazy seeing The Crown in 4K. Yeah. Like, yes. It's like... Y'all really thought we was going to believe that was Kate? Like,
it was bad. It was very clearly photoshopped.
Did Banu think that if he came with the truth, like, they would be like, okay, Bob, classic Banu. You like that transition. But all right, yes. Jack, take it away. What we got? What we cooking today?
Man, what are we cooking? With 46, not a whole lot, but
you're trying to get
for yourself.
Andy, watch out. Andy learned his lesson. You better be careful, Jack. Andy learned the lesson the hard way.
Bryce is cooking something.
I am cooking. If you guys are hungry,
no.
Oh my god!
I do have a pair of. Hold on, wait. I brought out. These are Corey Wharton's. okay. If y'all are hungry, I am cooking on the stove this week.
Yeah. Goodness. Can you hurry up? We need to cook some rice in that when you're done.
Oh my god! Yeah. There's some that. Never mind.
I mean, now.
Maybe it's not something we see. Did you guys boil your clothes like that?
So I have seen people do that. The 9 days that I was out there, we just kind of washed our stuff.
That's what I would do
in the ocean.
Yeah.
And yeah. But I will admit, you know, I mean, I would like to know what Austin's rice tastes like.
We got to figure out, did they do that last season? That's the real question.
I'll give you some, I'll give some game to some future Survivor players the way I wash my clothes.
If we could talk about in the game and not on Exile Island.
It's crazy because when I ended up on The Edge of Extinction, that was still three times longer in the game than Bryce. But anyway.
Okay. But coming from winning and in the first merge boot is still like, I don't know, Jack, what is the statistics on that? But
is the first merge boot better than the third pre-merge boot? Because that's what we need to start referring to you as.
I mean, you know, prior to
did you make it three episodes?
Well, listen, that's a trick question, okay? Because the first episode of Kaguya was 2 hours. So that's two episodes.
Man didn't even make it to a... Anyway,
this.
Inside Survivor... Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, whoever comes after us, if you want to wash your clothes on Survivor, here's a tip. In the med box, they have a gigantic thing of hand sanitizer. My strategy was, and I wore jeans on the island, and that's debatable as to whether or not that's a good strategy. My strategy was I'd take my jeans to the med box, and I'd take that hand sanitizer and just load it up on the jeans, fold them up, bring them to the ocean, and scrub it in the ocean. Let that sit out, and they smell great, and they're clean.
Ding! I bet the smell is big out there.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. That's what you do.
I mean, great provider for the tribe if somebody gets a cut, but
where's the hand sanitizer? Oh, Wendell's using it to wash his pants.
It's an unlimited stash. The tub is like this big of hand sanitizer. You could bathe in the hand sanitizer.
Wendell, when I picked you up from your house the other day, is that what you use to wash your clothes? Because, right, sorry, I mean, we get off to a rough start. Right, but Jack,
smelly, but if you want to do that, let's go ahead.
Jack, Wendell was like, my car's in the shop. Can you take me to Lowe's? I'm like, okay. Jack and Alex, he got in my car. And mind you, I'm the king of smells, right? Like, Jack, I know what you smell like. Alex, I've never met you in person, but like, I'm just a smeller. And Wendell normally does not have a scent. And it's like, listen, I've smelt Wendell's clothes before. Like, he doesn't have a scent.
Oh.
He got in my car. I was like,
this is interesting.
Bryce, you're lying. See, this is the thing.
I was Wendell, like, Bryce? You got trash in your pants? Like,
Bryce. Oh. First, Bryce, you know what?
Wendell was like, it's the shirt.
We're going to compare my smell to the smell of your car.
Not too much.
Okay.
Not too much.
Take that.
Jack's been in my car. Jack, did my car smell?
I don't have a good sense of smell. So.
Well, I mean, I've been in your car,
Jack. I'm not the king of smells, Bryce. Like you
okay.
Are.
Okay. All right.
Jack, you need to teach Banu how to give answers. That was a really good answer for Tribal.
Thank you. Thank you. We're all just here vibing. Jeff,
the inflection was perfect.
I'm chilling with the homie.
The hard G on chilling.
And so, I guess we'll get into it. This is kind of what the episodes have been like, though. Is, well, I don't want to throw shade. It's like just random conversations going down, like without much through line. And that's kind of what we're doing right now. I do have hopes for the season. Look, I don't want to knock it, but it has been rough so far, in my opinion. And I know, Alex, you referenced, I guess, Andy Heron from Big Brother 15 said something about it, and I guess they came for his neck.
Yeah, but don't mess with them.
Survivor 46ers, I think, you know, pretty objectively speaking, so far it hasn't been too hot. And so I think if I were you, I'd rather be like, look, it started a little slow, but it's going to get hot. You know what I mean? That way when it does, it's like, okay, we were right around. But if you're out here being like, the Randon medevac was electric. This is a great season. Like, but it's kind of like, all right, I think we might be a little bit biased. And I mean, shout out to my guy Jelinski, unironically the best part of the season so far. I'll say what
Jack said, I'll finish what Andy Heron started.
Yeah. Andy threw the lob. It's like wait to LeBron. But I still have high hopes. Here's the thing, like going into next, not to get too far ahead, but you know, next episode, we're gonna get one of three things. We're gonna get Yanu 3 has to split up a tribal, or we're gonna get a fresh Siga or Nami tribal. And I'm very interested to see how those tribals will play out. So I'm hoping that next episode really gets the ball rolling. But I didn't hate this episode. It's just there hasn't been a lot of real action so far.
Can I just wanna, really quick, Bryce? To all the friends of the show that might be on Survivor 46, the thoughts and views. Come for Jack. You guys as a unit, come for Jack.
This is Don't Jack's Twitter. Jack,
you know, Jack Atkins.
Jack Atkins, okay? Just so y'all know that.
Here's why I'll stand by. Like, it's not me saying, oh, this cast is terrible.
The soundbite. There's the sound. No, I'm kidding.
it's okay. You know, the second tribal episode was really long. It kind of dragged, and the brew was pretty predictable. Episode 3, unfortunately, we get a random medevac. There's no interesting tribal. And then here, we don't even have a vote. So it's like, I'm not mad at any of the players.
I'm not blaming the cast.
But if someone wants to defend why those three last episodes were good, I think you would have a really hard time.
He's digging like the Siga tribe right now.
I'm hoping to bridge these two opinions here and find the middle ground. I think it does not feel like the game has progressed a whole lot. We spent 2 hours on a Jelinski boot that maybe should have been Banu. Then we spent 2 hours on a Jess vote that maybe should have been Banu. And then we have spent these last two episodes, so 3 hours on a Banu vote out. So it does not really feel like there has been a whole lot of forward progress in the season. And I'm hoping this was almost like the dam has broken. And like Jack said, the game can move on from here. Yes. And I know there's a lot of people that are being harsh on Banu, and I'm joking around on him, but I would much rather see Banu, like more Banus out there than just, you know, 18 complete game bots the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a take. I don't think personally this season has been as bad as the critics, right? I do believe it has been slow, right? But ain't nothing wrong with slow and steady. And what I find really interesting, and I've said this before, with the 90 minutes, the edits, the cracks, the glimpses of the things that they are showing us amongst this slow motion, right? For me, I'm salivating. Did I say that right? Yeah. Okay.
Salivating.
He's messing with you.
Okay. I am Austin at the mouth at this, like these cracks, right? Because they are telling us a story, right? And it's like if y'all. They are deceptive in the edits, right? Like, we know this, right? And so it's like, it's a game of Clue. It's a game of Puzzle. They are dropping little nuggets, like Ready Player One. They're dropping little nuggets, and I'm picking up all of them. And like you said, when the dam overflows, I have things that I am queuing in on. I have players in my mind that I'm like, whoa, I need to see what they're going to do. Oh, what's going to happen here? Oh, what's going to happen here? And so for me, it's like a murder mystery. And... Ooh. You know, the dinner just got served.
Yeah, Yeah, this was the first act. Yeah.
I can totally agree with that, and I still have high hopes for the season. But I think Alex described it perfectly. Within probably half an hour of the premiere, we could have been like, okay, Bonu, Jolinski, and Jess are in tough shape. And it's been about 5 hours of that. And I actually liked Bonu a lot. I thought he was super entertaining and had a lot of heart. I know he's got a lot of hate so far. But I loved what Bonu brought to the table. But at the same time, I can't do that forever. I saw a statistic, Wendell, in 4 episodes, Bonu had 3 fewer confessionals than you had all of Ghost Island. That is a crazy statistic.
What?
He had 35 confessionals in 4 episodes. But see,
here's another thing that I was thinking about Bonu. I was like, they don't even need to pull him for confessionals. His external monologues were like, they were the best. The camera was just following him.
Jeff tells me to dig deep. I'm digging deep.
That was great. He like tried to manifest his own clue. I'm digging deep right now, Jeff. This has to be the right spot, right? Please.
Okay. Like they're going to throw an idol in that hole he just made.
I thought Bonu had some all-time lines. Like it was tough to watch, but it was incredible. I mean, when he questioned his religion.
That's like 6 of my notes right here. Is Bonu questioning God?
No, not questioning God. Bonu was in a fight with God. Yeah. Get down here now.
The biggest blindside so far this season was God turning on Bonu.
That was really fascinating, though, if I'm being honest. We've never seen that, and we will never see that again, I feel like.
But here's the thing. As funny as it is, right? Have you ever been working on a project? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been typing your midterm and you didn't plug your computer up and you lose everything? Like, you be like, what the? Like, I kind of felt the realness in that because there have been times that I have had to ask little baby Jesus, what's up?
Why would you have me type this whole paper just to delete it? God, why?
So
want to examine his question, though. He said, why would you have put me on Survivor if it was only to be this short, God? And I was like, wow.
Because I would ask God that question.
Here's what my only issue with that is like, Jolinski didn't ask God that question. Neither did Jess. Randon had the most right to ask out of anyone. And Bonu was like, why? Why only 9 days? And because I was doing some light rewatching, Bonu even admits to one point, he goes, I was praying, saying, God, if you're real, give me a sign. He was doing more negotiating with God than he was his other tribe mates.
But listen, not to get too, like, you know, spiritual, you know, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there always on time. And sometimes he doesn't give you what you want, but what you need. And so it's like, maybe the sign was, you might not have liked the sign.
This is the time, Bonu. No vote, no shot, no idol. This is the time.
Now, since we're all over the place, am I the only person? No, it's probably me. Did you question, though, when Q was like, what are the chances you think Jeff put up? Now, I was like, are they about to do what I think they're about to do? Yeah. And then you get Bonu like, God, dig deeper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was like, are they about to give him an idol?
They teased me a couple of times. I had to remind myself, I'm like, Tiffany has that beware advantage, right? Like, I saw that happen. It just was like, where is this going if he doesn't find an idol right now?
And why are we spending so much time
on
the inevitable? But it, also, again, I love Bonu, but wait, he fell down to the floor.
I have a question for you players. I think I'd be like Tiffany. I'd be like, stand up. No, I'm not going to talk to you. You don't think you could negotiate with someone on their hands and knees, do you? Sorry, I can't even finish the question.
I mean, it depends what the negotiations are. Because
Johnston.
If that's the case.
Oh, no.
If that's the case. No.
I could not believe that, though. Please. And you know what? He didn't even ask Tiffany to vote someone. He just said, Tiffany, help me. Please help me. It was wild.
Now, I think Jeff was ready for Banu to leave.
I am Jeff.
I think if you look at this trial, I was talking to Bryce about this. I've talked to some other people about this. I think Jeff was ready for this man to leave this game, because when I look at that tribe, without knowing who Banu is or anybody, I'm like, this is a super tribe. When I look at their starting point, I'm like, this tribe is not going to lose. Then I'm like, all right, if we sub anyone for Banu this episode, they ain't losing.
Yeah.
Like, and so for such a tribe that optically is like, yo, this is the tribe. Mm-hmm. I think Banu, sweetheart, great man, great person, but I think he's had a chokehold on this tribe. And like, now that he's gone, I'd like to think that they could do some damage now. But I've been saying it every week. And I'm like, all right, maybe Banu's going to get on board. But I think Jeff was really ready, like, for this to not be the Banu spectacle anymore.
Yeah.
All right, now let's play some Survivor.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why we got the vote that we did. If you can call it that. What do you guys think about that? I have two issues with it. As a player, your vote is like your only provable trust, in my opinion, at the end of the day. There's a lot of words, and this is an action. But then, two, like, as an audience member, it just feels really anticlimactic.
Yeah, because we could still think that something might...
Someone might pull something. Yeah.
Yeah, but had we not had the 45 minutes prior to that, maybe... So I do have a question, though, right? And again, I'm gonna bring this back to Q, because when we talk about keeping the tribe strong, and like, you know, again, I just want to bring up Jelinski again, because I questioned in the beginning, like, although Jelinski might have quit, although he might have like did a lot of different things, like, when we say keep the tribe strong, like, I feel like not just physically, but sometimes it's like maybe keeping the tribe strong is just keeping your mouth shut. Like, you know, like, so again, I always just.
Which Jelinski couldn't do.
I mean.
He would raise his hand for everything. Like, yeah, all right, you might not be sharing certain things, but it's like,
But that's when we as a tribe be like, no. But I'm just saying, that's all I...
In a two-hour span, we saw him raise his hand and fail four times in a row.
I'm curious. So you don't think it was then... You think Jelinski was still the correct vote at that time, Wendell?
As opposed to Jess and Banu?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, hindsight...
Yeah, no. And we try to take hindsight out of it. We make a decision in the moment and you stick with it. Hindsight, clearly, that... freaking puzzle where his 6-foot wingspan would have helped. But like, that's coming.
In hindsight, I'd say that Jelinski maybe should have been the third boot.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. I questioned it when it happened. There was the whole quit thing. So like, I understood it, but in the new era, particularly if you lose that first tribal and you don't have your fire for 2-3 days, it looks hard to come back from at this point.
Yeah. I thought Jess was the right first boot, just because Jelinski had some more loyalty. But I saw the logic of, like, Jelinski has sort of actively messed our games up by, like, giving people advantages and saying this and that. And at that point, Jess and Banu hadn't really done that. So,
not to go back 3 episodes, did you guys think that was that big of, like, a sin?
No, I didn't, but it was his delivery. Like, I feel like if you are that much of a Survivor fan, you should not be coming back.
Yeah,
like,
I gave him an extra vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not in a vacuum. It's not just, that was not his only blunder that episode.
So true. Yeah. When you compound them, it really starts to add up. I do think the delivery, because I was like, I don't think that was that bad of a move, but he did deliver it very poorly.
That was the issue. Is I thought the best move was to just be honest and say, hey, guys, like, I have the skull. I'm not going to lie to you.
Right.
Because the other alternative was you really try to lie about it. Well, then Tevin could just be like, I swear to God, I swear on my mom and my dad and da-da-da-da. And then if you're Jelinski, are you going to match that? Like, probably not, or else you just look like such a deceitful person. But yeah, you can't go to the tribe and be like, yeah, I tried to lie for about 30 seconds, gave up. I was like, I can help these guys out.
You could easily just say, I lost.
Yeah.
That would have been the easy thing right. to say.
But bringing it back over to Survivor 46 and steering away from the Yanu tribe for a little bit, we also got scenes early on at the Sika tribe where Jem decides to rehide the Beware advantage. And this leads to Maria finds it, and this causes a collective tribe search under this tree where they find nothing but ants. And that, you know, arises some suspicion about, is this planted? Some fingers were pointed at Tim because he was searching too hard. What do we think about this from like Jem's perspective, and then maybe also the perspective of like the players who don't know what the situation is with this advantage?
I think Jem played this off great. Shout out to Jem. Okay, you know, wearing the merch. I think she played this off great.
That's a good hat. I see.
Oh, that is a good hat.
Ooh.
Jem's my winner pick. I'm going to need to get one of those. That's fly. Oh, that's real cool.
Team Jem. So I thought Jem was great. If it were me, I would have been like it would have been so hard for me, especially when I think it might have been Liz. Like, do you think someone could have put it there and then planted it again? And Jem's like, nah, wow. I would have been like, what makes you think that? Like, I would have been cracking up. So I loved her plan. I thought that was a great. My only critique of her is we should maybe like find a better spot for it. It literally was like sticking out. Like Dr. Maria saw it. Also, Dr. Maria was me. She touched it. She said, it's beware. Boom. I don't want no beware idols. I'm good.
Really?
But she did open it up, right? And now I think she doesn't have a vote.
I do think Ben opened it. I could be wrong. Yeah. One of them opened it. Well, oh, maybe this is a hot take. Jack, are you opening a Beware advantage if you find it?
Of course.
I think I am, but I understand not. My issue here.
Are you opening it or not?
Well, if it's a replanted one, you still have your vote.
That's true. No, but you don't know that. You don't know that. And you're on a tribe of six. I think that makes a difference too.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, wait a minute. All right. Now I have an even better question, right? Oh, yeah. So say he does open the reopen. They lose next.
Like, he should know it's a replant at that moment. Whoever opened it.
That's when he finds out. Yeah. He gets his vote.
But would it? They've never played Survivor before.
He wouldn't find out because all he knows right now is dig under the tree. And he's right. He doesn't know the stipulations of like come
and
back.
So what if he gets up to the parchment and even though he sees it, they've never played Survivor. But well, I mean, I guess they've seen it. So
I think they would tell him to vote.
They would tell him to vote, I think.
It usually says you go up and it's like you have no vote, return to the seat. And he'd
Which
be
I
like
think is pretty funny, actually.
Do we know for a fact who opened it, Ben or Maria?
It was one of those two. I may be mistaken on Ben. I thought I saw him open it. It was one of them that was not Jem. I noticed that was like she didn't open and read it either.
I thought it was Maria.
Okay, we could go with Maria. I could be wrong.
Here's my issue is, look, I love the move from Jem from like a spontaneity, like a entertainment spontaneity standpoint. But I don't think it's a good move because she does it to like take heat off herself. But if nobody else ever finds it, there's lead on Jem.
Here's why I like it. And it's very situational. And it's that the Green Tribe is probably not going to go to a tribal before they hit the merge. This can give Jem an interesting insight as to who trusts who before the merge that she wouldn't get otherwise because there's no vote. It's all, we all vibe with each other. If we don't have to vote someone out, let's not talk about it. But now there's an actionable thing where Maria can be like, I think it's Charlie, or you know what I mean? Like, they can point fingers and she can map out the connections on the tribe.
I agree with that. I don't think that was her motivation by any means.
Go ahead, Wendell.
Yeah, my only thing is, yes, that is great, and now you do have this, and you do have this, but I just think it's adding too much. I think it's fun to watch on TV, and it's a fun idea, and I replanted a fake idol before, but I just think, man, now you really have people. Like now, I don't know. It's scary because, like,
well, to put it, because I had more to my. So the real issue I have with it is now, say we say that Maria was the one who opened it and no longer has a vote. If they go to tribal, Maria, who is allegedly Jem's ally and is also in a swing position, now thinks that she doesn't have a vote. And so Jem can either let her think she doesn't have a vote or she's going to have to be like, wink, wink, like, I planted it. You have a vote. And then Maria might be like,
die with the lie.
Yeah. And then Maria would be like, why did you do that? Like, that's messed up. So it just puts her in a position where now she's kind of hosing over her allies.
They're not going to go.
Even if Maria loses her vote, Jem can just even stick harder to her and be like, what's the plan? We're working together. Like, I got you. Like, if I'm Jem, I keep this to the in the chest. Like, I'm not mad at that.
Eventually, it comes out. When you play your idol or something, and now what?
Guess what?
I
still agree. I don't think it's a great look. And the other issue is
I'm playing to win.
People are now suspicious of Tim.
Okay, so,
but they're also worried that he might have an idol. So if I'm Maria and I think I have no vote and I think Tim might have an idol, I'm actually more likely to side with the guys and vote for a Gemma or a Mariah. And so that puts Jem and in her team.
All moot because they're not going to lose. Here's where I think it'll be an issue is if she at the merge is like, I want to stay six green strong, then this move only sowed distrust amongst the six. But if she gets to the merge and is like, I'm playing an individual game, I'm not with all of them, then I think this was a good move personally. Yeah.
It's a risk. In order to win Survivor, you got to play to win. And so I feel that. But I just also want to circle back real quick, Jack. I'm not making no assumptions. I'm not making nothing crazy. However, I was like, Tim?
I get what you mean. Like, why Tim?
Why Tim?
Why is Tim lying about this?
Probably he's just been the most, like, he's probably fit in the least with him socially. So maybe it's just natural for people to be like, oh, well, the person I'm Lily's close to, yeah, he's doing something shady. But I agree with the logic of, like,
down, Bryce.
The logic of, like, he's actually searching really hard. He's overcompensating. I'd be like, I don't know. You can tell if someone's maybe in there and, like, really looking. Yeah, they probably think it's there.
Yeah. Again, we don't see everything. Maybe
I'm like just looking at everybody, like, that I kind of be like, well, then maybe it's a little bit suspect.
If Jem felt hideous. Like she was worried, I feel like this was a good idea. But I don't know exactly the dynamic. We don't get a ton of green, unfortunately.
Right. Which I love because it kind of keeps us guessing.
Murder mystery.
And right, the murder mystery. We don't really know. But from my assumption, though, for them to say Tim, and from what I've seen so far, it leads me to believe, like, is Tim on the outs, right? Like, so that is what worries me about Tim.
That's the conclusion. I think if they want to travel, he would go first.
Which is weird. I didn't see that when it first started. I thought he was going to do really well. And he's still got time to turn it around.
But it brings up a really good point, right? Because they found a Beware advantage as a group. And then as a group, Tim start going in. And it's like he's playing the game and going in. And now he becomes a target. Now let's go over to the Yellow Tribe, because it brings up similar things, because I really want to talk about this soda dynamic, because on paper, what is Soda doing wrong, right? Like, I mean, she's playing classic Survivor in the sense of, like, hey, be friendly, talk to everybody, but keep your allies close. But because you dig it so deep, it causes mistrust. So it's, for me, I just always think people that love Survivor and that are so critical of people on Survivor, they keyboard warriors. They be the best players ever. I would do this. I would do that. I can't believe it. But I just feel like sometimes it really is situational. And it's like on paper, because I'm like, and so do mine. Like, girl, you killing it. Like, you know, talking to everybody, you got your core three. Hey, Venus, hey this, hey that, hey that. And it's like, because you're out there and the Survivor paranoia is running and you're like, oh, we're not talking Survivor. I got to lie. You know, it's just that level. And I even bring it back to Tim. He ain't do nothing wrong. But again, maybe it's like, maybe I don't dig in the dirt. I just
slowly dig. I think in the new era of Survivor, specifically with three tribes, I'm starting to believe it is a detriment not to go to tribal early on. These people don't know where these people heads. If Tevin and Soda had actually voted together, maybe Tevin wouldn't be like, Soda's playing too hard. Or if Tim had been like, oh, you know what? He was that clutch fourth vote we needed. Tim's good. They have no, it's all paranoia, like you said. It's all theories, ideas, nonstop for 10 plus days for these two tribes. And where Purple knows, us three are sticking together. We've been through it.
I'd still much rather coast to the merge.
Same.
You have a much better shot of making it to the end if you don't go to tribal.
Same. Yeah. Statistically, it makes sense. But it's just interesting the trend we've been seeing specifically in the new era.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we have nothing to base our trust on other than people's words. So now
the
we're
color of our more, yeah, more buffs. Yeah. No votes, no proof.
And I feel like that's maybe what sparked this in Tevin, because obviously I think they're getting a little bit stir crazy and you start to hatch plans. But I think one step farther is Tevin's like, okay, I haven't been able to prove trust by going to tribal, but maybe if I spring this blindside into action, I could see who's really about it and who's going to ride
with
it.
With me.
And so for him to go to like a Hunter, and Hunter's like, I'm super down. Like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Tevin could be like, oh, that's actually my guy. Like, he's going to rock with me. Even if the move isn't really the right move. But to Bryce's point, I'm mixed on Soda because there's such a balance lately, and like, especially in the new era of like, you want to have a really good social game, but how do you have that social game where it's not like super visible for everybody else to be like, he's really social or she's really social. And I think Soda's social game right now, maybe it's just been like a little bit too visible. And for Tevin, look, Tevin's situation with Venus is not ideal. It's not obviously going to have a great bond, but there is something to be said in Survivor and real life for like one of your friends or your allies for you to know that they just really do not rock with somebody. You're like, okay, if I know and you show them that you do not like them, then that means that when you show me love, like it's probably pretty genuine. And I think I have this thing in real life where if I see someone who just gets along with everybody and it never has a bad thing to say about anybody, I'm like, well, how do I know that you actually like really, like that I'm really your number one in real life? And I think that would translate to Survivor where you like to hear your friend talk a little bit of shit about somebody because you're like, okay, I know that trust they don't like someone, they're not going to hold it back. So the fact that they're with me shows like an actual trust, like I said, in real life or in the game. And I feel like that's kind of what Tevin is utilizing. That's really got him in the driver's seat.
I love it. Also, I really like Tevin. The many fights that we have had, Jack, I'm glad that you get the point. It's like, I don't fight with everybody, you know? So it's like, if I'm going to call you up and argue with you, that like that's how you know it's real.
I think also on the flip side, and this might be what's hurting Soda, it hurts when like you and I, Jack, we're talking crap about other people on the circle. But then when we're out, I'm like buddy-buddy with them the whole time, talking their ear up, oh, you're my best friend. So Soda, while she's placating the bottom, Tevin's like, is she actually working with them? It only takes one vote. It's just that, and we applaud players who minds thinking that way. But when you don't go to tribal for 12 days, your mind runs too much almost.
Mm-hmm. And Tevin's like, let me stay one step ahead here because I'd rather be the one to pull in Liz than let Soda have the opportunity to pull in Liz. And it just kind of spirals.
It's weird almost because it's like, and again, I'm not mad at how Soda's playing, but I almost feel like I almost wish Soda, with the energy that she has, is in the Venus position, right? Because it would hit different than her kind of sort of being in the power position and scrambling around and working with people. Like, I think it's like just so weird. But again, I'm not mad at Soda. I feel like on paper, I understand it.
I could see Soda winning. I really could. I think Soda, especially you get to emerge and you apply those social skills. If there's majority of the people who just like her, it's going to get her far.
I think that's also why they're nervous about her at this point now that they're close to emerge. And I think that's actually semi-reasonable because she's just a butterfly.
Well, we just saw somebody last season that was a butterfly and they sniped him quick by the name of Caleb.
Yeah, they did. They sniped it twice right away. They tried once and they said, no, and then let me try again.
Let me try it again. We're going to do this again.
That's why I did think Caleb was going to win too. I was very much like, this guy's winning.
Well, that's why I think Soda doesn't actually have a lot of like winner equity.
It's so up and down. The things that help you the most, if you're too good at them. Back in the day, it used to be like, if you were too good at challenges, they took you out. Now it's like, oh, you're good with everyone in the tribe. Future players, go out there. Start a fake beef. Day one, be like, you and I, we're going to fight, but we're going to look out for each other. Change the game.
Yeah. I also feel like Soda is learning a little bit because at the reward challenge when the Purple Tribe won, she was very much like, I see y'all, let's go.
Yes.
You know.
Didn't she's I totally a community kid. Challenge, though, her snatch the idol again?
I think Venus gave it to her finally. I think they're becoming friends. It looked much more. I cannot believe this happens almost every episode, though. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the. So Yanu gets a much needed win at the reward challenge.
Okay. I'm actually going to. In hindsight's 2020, this actually makes me more annoyed that they won because they can win. We know they can, but they just can't win the immunity challenges. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I kind of knew that was, I felt that was, I was like, that. I felt like their celebration back at camp. I was like, don't
jinx it.
Don't. Well, also, can we give a shout out to Tim? Because I don't know what Tim thought that challenge was, but it was like, bruh, while you're down in the water, you could have just clipped it off.
I know.
Maybe that's why they thought he had. Maybe they thought he found a Bowerican underneath the water.
He's like, got to go under the boat.
You got to stay under the water for a certain amount of time.
And then it'll be on the bottom of the platform. You got to flip it up.
Like Tim was so eager to jump out of the boat onto the platform.
That was so funny. Well, I almost was like, oh, he's got it. And then he did.
He did the same thing in the immunity challenge too, where he landed on. So if I'm out there, I'm like, he's not a clue where he needs to fall off a platform.
His legs. No.
His whole tribe's like, it's definitely under one of those platforms. Yeah, that is what he did.
It was
literally legs in air.
His face was preparing for a fall. He was like, I'm gonna look crazy.
Yeah.
That was so funny. This is what I'm saying, though, is there's people that are like, oh, season's so bad and boring. It's not. There's a lot of things that are happening. You're just not watching. You're on your phone. It's all physical comedy.
There's fun moments, but like you said, there hasn't been a lot
of
strategic progression.
But I just love yelling at angry Twitter people.
Yeah. Speaking of fun moments, after this reward challenge, the Yanu's morale is up a little bit. And I know we're bouncing around. But we do get that wonderful moment of Banu getting some coaching from Q. And I thought maybe it would be a fun exercise if I could be Jeff Probst for a second and you guys could all be the new and improved Banu at Tribal Council. And I want to hit you guys each with a question for you to answer as the new and improved Banu.
Okay. Ready for it. Let's do it.
So Bryce. So Bryce knew. You know, after Randy got medically evacuated last episode, you guys seem really upbeat. How are you and your tribe feeling now that you've somehow managed to lose a fourth consecutive challenge? What's the energy like at camp?
Are you asking as Jack or Jeff?
As Jeff. As Jeff.
Yo, yo, yo. Word on the block. We chilling. Did I do okay, Wendell?
You did well. You did well. Okay. You're doing that.
Bondle.
Yes, Jeff.
You know, your tribe is only down to four members now, and you're at Tribal Council again. Has there been any discussion of who's on the block? Who do you think you might want to vote out?
Jeff, I'm going to look at my tribe. You're making the block hot.
Where'd you learn that term from, Bondle?
I'm going to just wink at Tiffany.
That would actually be so fun.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still on the block. I have a little, now I have a lot. Everywhere I go,
So, where's he from?
From the block.
Banu from the block.
Banu from the block.
All right, I got one more I'd like to ask. So Alex Bonzard, you know, aside from all the strategizing you've done with God, who on your tribe do you like to strategize with the most?
Jeff, it's time to vote. That killed me when he did episode one. When he said that, I was like, oh, I'm gonna love Banu. He fooled me in the first half. No, but I'm just kidding. I still love him.
Can we give him some credit though, right? And this is where I feel like the edit, because when he came back with Kenzie, right? Like, I am so sure when Q and Kenzie were laying down, I am so sure Q did not want, when Banu was like, Kenzie, can you teach me? And for me, I didn't take it as him really being like literal. Like what I got from him was like, okay, Q has taught me some things. Kenzie, Can we, like, I thought
a general.
He was, right, like, I thought he was essentially saying, like, sis, come take a walk with me. Because yeah. how befit, like, he could have really, in that moment, been like, you know Q want to get you out. Like, I felt like, and Q set up a little bit. And so I feel like the edit is a little deceptive. Because there's a world where I could see that Q kind of was, like, feeding Kenzie a little bit to be like, he chilling because
you don't need to talk to him.
Right. Because I really got like Banu saying, like, I'd like to learn from you too. Like, he was saying, like, come teach
Let's
me.
Let's go
some-
talk on the beach, you and I. Yeah. I did think this was really funny because he goes off and is like, Kenzie just snapped at me. And I was like, I don't really think she snapped at him. But then later in the episode, she's like, I snapped at Banu. I need to go up. I was like, oh, okay. They all think he snapped at him. Yeah.
My vantage point was it looked like she was a little tough on my man.
Yeah.
Just a little like, I'm not, yo, leave
right,
me.
Like not right now.
Leave me, not even like that, but like, not right now, bro. Like, let me rest. Like, you're out of here. So just.
I mean, yeah. Hey, Bryce, I think that's a good point. I can kind of sense Q was like, I don't want to lose my Phillip. Like, I don't want him to go anywhere else.
I think Q was very, very interested in keeping Banu if he could. Yeah.
But I get Kenzie's frustration because it's like, we're all playing for $1 million. Why is it my job to help you? It's not. Like, you have to, like, you know, if you all make it to the merge, you want to be in a good spot with Banu or whatever. But I love Banu as a character. I feel like, you know, as soon as he told Yanni that he told everybody else about the dynamics, I'd be like, dude, you are just sabotaging my game right now. Like, what? And now you want me to just, like, help you.
That was so rough because he just got the Randon news. He just got the Randon news, second life in the game, and the first thing we see him do is he's like, I told them everything. And I want to take stock in this. Banu said he's not a liar and he's not good at lying. He's told Q and Tiffany, he said, they asked me, are they close? And I said, yes, they're close. I went back and watched it. He offered it up to them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, first of all, like... First of all, Banu, he knew giving them that information what he was doing. Like that, the tone. And even when Tiffany asked you, right?
Was that bad?
Was that bad? Like, it's like you can, like, that's the thing that I think that frustrates me a little bit about Banu. Like, you can be deceptive. You are showing it.
Because like one foot in and 1 foot out. He's right. Like, I want to tell the truth, but then I want to. And be like really honest, but then I want to twist it so it still kind of works for me. But it's like, dude, just don't say anything. And
just
that's
you're
being more honest by not saying anything. Like
second chance, and he was like, I need to be honest with them in this moment.
Yeah, it was such a fumble.
I love how Tiffany was like, he probably over there telling them this and that, but actually it was worse than that, Tiffany. Like
it was.
Banu was
he said, I'm going home tonight. Kenzie's the mastermind. Q and Tiffany, they're just so close. And I was like, wow. It was like 30 seconds. Right.
Like, was there anything more that you could even share about the trial? Like,
I think Tiffany has the beware advantage. Yeah, like
Jelinski was pretty tall.
Oh, gosh.
Speaking of other fun moments, we're back over on the Sega tribe, and they get the tree mail for the immunity challenge, and Mariah has to disclose that she cannot jump.
Is this the first point towards going back to 60 minutes? No, I'm just kidding. I was watching this like, come on.
It was a very fun, it was
bad,
funny.
Her jumps were bad.
Yeah, but I actually, you know, I kind of expected the challenge to be you have to go jump and grab a key. And I was thinking, if Mariah can't jump, you know, they could lose just because of that. In reality, you just have to jump off a platform. You could just... belly flop off. Walk off.
Or you could be Hunter and say, I'm going to jump to the other platform.
I actually wonder how really, like, if there would ever be someone athletic enough that could just would jump so far that they would actually hit the other platform and that.
I thought we were about to see it.
The landing would be a little odd, like,
well, no, you
look
would,
like Tim
would get hurt, like,
on that platform.
Yeah.
You probably, the momentum will probably just stumble you right into the water that's in front of that.
You slip and, yeah, you just keep going.
I don't know. But also,
especially if you're wet. Yeah, if your feet are wet, you're floop. It's going to look like a cartoon, like a banana
pie. I think you're like breaking a leg, or worse, you might be diving and you dive too far and you I don't know. I'm sure Survivor thinks about this, but
speaking of diving, I thought Tim's dive was, I was like, okay, Tim, we see you diving. I thought Hunter was diving right into the, but I do need to, I do question Q's dive though, because it's like, it was so fooling, right? Like it was the form of a dive, but he
but
just
not.
Yeah.
It definitely was like, it's a Q pillow.
It okay. is Q. I was like, that's Q.
Bryce had a Q pillow made.
Okay. I really like Q. I think Q is one of the more interesting athletes we've seen on the show.
But here's the thing though, right? Because I'm gonna be a little hard on Q because okay. I mean we love Q, right? But I'm just saying, because you know, every episode, I'm always going to ask the question. I'm always going to ask the question. Okay. How would Jalinski do? Because I just want to make sure we give our man some credit and some love, because I'm just saying, for Q to be the pro athlete, okay, he was the last person on, and when he got up in there, he was drained.
This is a good point.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we all know Jalinski's a hooper too. So. And with his 8-foot reach, he doesn't even have to shoot. He can just lean over and drop it in.
Drop it in. Yeah. So, how would Jalinski do? We saw him throw that hourglass. He has an arm.
Yeah, he's got range. I swear Jalinski would have front flipped instead of diving.
He would have front flipped and landed behind himself.
Yeah. I know that would happen.
But I just thought Q's dive was a little interesting, because it's like because diving is a little hard. I feel like sometimes it's like, am I going? But he had the form right. He just landed it a little hard.
Landing. Bryce, are you good at diving?
I can dive. I can dive. I did practice. Say that again.
Would you look like Q?
I would probably look like Tim.
Good dive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay.
If I'm not mistaken, on Ghost Island, I believe Jurger dove from that top high platform.
He did. Yeah, good. Well, you were there, but I was going to say good memory.
Good memory to you if you actually remember that. And you
I do. I don't know if I told you this the last time, but I actually think, Wendell, you had the most, like, while it was cool sentimental, you had the most bum hidden immunity idol of all time. How are you supposed to hide that big-ass thing?
It's a hula hoop. What are they doing to you?
I couldn't believe. I was like, this is so unfair. This barely fits in his bag.
Nah, yeah. It was like a belt. Yeah. It was a championship wrestling belt.
Yeah, it was huge. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is not fair.
I just left it off-site at all times.
Was the platform Jurger dove off, was that the same height as like these ones, or was it?
I'm willing to bet it was the same height. This challenge looked very familiar to some Ghost Island challenge.
Do you think diving is the wrong move, or you just think it takes a little more audacity, Wendell?
I think it takes a lot more audacity, and
real deep.
In Jurger's case, I think he had a further distance to go, so that dive helps him. Whereas in Hunter's case, it's like, you jump in and you got to get right out. So your dive doesn't affect it.
But I'm thinking I would try to dive, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
I think the first hurdle, I think you definitely dive because it is a lot further. But I think the second hurdle, it's like this one. I don't think you dive. I think you just try to jump as far as you can, because it didn't look, the angles for me weren't the best.
And do we worry on this platform about getting a running start and slipping when you try to jump, or is it? Do you think it's pretty dry up there?
No, I think it's probably dry until you get up there and you're drenched of water.
And you've had like three people go before you.
That's what I'm. I was. I would be nervous about that. Thinking like, I'm going to try to jump as far as I can, and you slip, and you like.
Generally speaking, they try to work around all the hazards that are possible. It's not like they'll put grippies up there or anything. but I don't think they put whatever the slipperiest wooden paint is up there.
Yeah, it's like a pretty
shellacking it.
Where it's gonna grip. That's good.
I do prefer a slippier wood though, but Hunter definitely.
I already knew I was gonna bring up this quote when Sika gets there first, and Tevin was like, "But once Hunter gets those balls in his hand."
Oh my God, it's over. I wrote that quote down.
I'm just going crazy.
It was a funny quote, but it was even more funny that it ended up being true.
Right.
Hunter and got there and goes, one, two, three.
It was the shape of the balls. Like, no, but I'm not trying to be funny. Look at the balls that Hunter has. Like, that.
I didn't even notice that.
For those that are listening in, Bryce has photoshopped himself on the ball in between Hunter's leg.
I'm not gonna lie, I've been looking at this photo since you brought it up, and I did not see your face.
I saw it immediately because I knew Bryce was
But I also want to give Tevin some love because in my rewatch of Tevin for 3.2 seconds during the challenge, you can see Tevin straddling the bench and checking under it. Like he moved over and kind of looked like he was like straddling it and he was checking under. So again, shout out to my twin Tevin, who is in a really good position in his tribe and is clearly out there playing the game. So
I love Tevin. But him and Hunter, great duo. I was really thinking him, Soda, and Hunter were gonna keep that momentum going, but now I'm worried about their relationship moving forward.
Yeah.
Could be a bluff. Could be an editing bluff. But I'm like you. I think they're leaving breadcrumbs for us.
I definitely believe so. I also feel like Tiffany was the MVP in this challenge. I feel like we didn't get to see a lot of it, but we saw how everyone else was doing pace-wise or how long it took them to do it. And then all of a sudden, Tiffany was in the water. Then she was just pulling herself up. I'm like, okay, Tiffany. Also, classic Banu. He was so into it. He was like, I'm going to just bypass this.
And go
get the ball. And Mike just like...
The worst part is, from the edit, they were very close in that challenge. Who knows? A minute that he needed to go back could have made all the difference, is the worst part about it, is from what it looked like.
Completely agree. Yeah, so ultimately,
one ball short.
Sika gets there first, but Tim has his ups and downs with the shooting. Hunter pulls up, like Tevin said, put a ball in this man's hand, and it's coming in.
And we're all expecting him to go like 2K, and he does the granny shot.
He did. And then Tim is able to pull it out, take home second for Sika. Once again, Yanu faded for another tribal council.
And this was a bummer, even though I just was bummed. I was like, not again.
And I got a question, though. And usually we don't really – factor into people's social medias and, like, look at that and try to apply that to what's going on in the game. I did see a post from Q that said, best missed shot of my life.
Oh, like best he wanted shot. To lose it.
So I'm like, all right, did they throw this challenge?
Be honest, if they and threw also, it.
It was like, yo, Banu, you're out of here. Like, I'm going to come in and start rebounding. So like, I'm trying to like, and
I don't think they threw it, but I think obviously they were happy to get rid of Banu at this point.
Yeah.
But you can't throw because you might lose the next one. And then you gotta
Like they thought they got robbed of getting rid of Banu when Randon left. So maybe they just didn't try their little hardest.
And again, like, you don't know what's to come next. You don't know if we're going to do a swap or a merge or anything. So like, all right, we might not have a shot at this guy who is leaking all our information all over the place. So, you know what? Maybe it might not be so bad if we lose.
Yeah, I can see that. If you go to another tribal,
it's risky. Real risky. It's a real question of like, because when Q was thinking about getting rid of Kenzie, I was like, man, take out a threat or like how big of a liability is Banu? And if they really thought he was like detrimental to their games, I definitely see a world where they didn't try their hardest. I never want to like cast that upon someone if they don't verbalize it, but I definitely see what you're hinting at for sure.
Yeah.
We already spoke about some of the post-challenge pre-tribal antics by Banu, including begging to Tiffany, questioning God. It's obviously pretty cut and dry. It was sort of
he's still asking to learn at that point. He's like, can you teach me anything?
I know. And it kind of reminded me of I was watching with some friends, including the great Zach Wurtenberger, and it kind of reminded me of the Alicia Boo in Ko Rong, where they finished the challenge and they were everyone else, I think it was Scott, Jason, and Sydney were all like, Kyle Jason or whatever his name was. We're all like, we're ready to vote you right now. And Jeff was like, we could just do it here if you want. And they were like, she was like, I want to wait till tribal.
Respect for her.
I'm honestly glad they didn't try to sow any viewer mistrust here because it was clearly blatant.
We've been lied to so many times, though. We all thought it was coming.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, at tribal, Banu has a chance to share his story. And ultimately, they don't even vote. So I guess I want to get into this topic of the not voting, but before we do, was there anything after the challenge before tribal that we haven't touched on that stood out to anyone?
I really like the purple three, but not as much as the Tika three, but for like different reasons. I really like this three, but I don't know there's a world where like they're Yanu strong. I feel like they're all individual players that are going to try to do their own thing come merge. Maybe I have the wrong read on it, but they just like keep talking like they're a three, but it really looks like Tiffany's in the middle of those two.
Right. And again,
it's good for her. I said this like 90 times. I really like Tiffany too.
I think it's great for her, but again, I just worry about being in the middle because, again, like Jack said earlier, I rather know where you stand, right? Mm. And I feel like we get this dialogue from Tiffany where she kind of is like, you know, I know Kinsey, you know, likes me, but it like, I don't know. I could just see a world where, say, they merge, right? And Tiffany does what Q wants, and then now Kinsey's coming after her, or Tiffany sides with Kinsey. Now Q's coming after her. So I don't know.
If they go to another tribal, who do we think goes home?
Oh, I don't even actually want to imagine that, if I'm being honest.
I have an answer, but I don't. I'll let you guys.
I think it's Kinsey, but I feel like Kinsey's really slick and could get out of it, is the only thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's tough.
I think Kinsey too.
I don't think Kinsey though, because if they were going to any tribes, right? If Kinsey were to link up like the Charlie's Angels, like I feel like, you know, Tiffany or Kinsey would be good with Charlie's Angels. I feel like on the other tribe, I feel like Kinsey, I could see a world where Kinsey, Venus, Soda,
if they go to another one, right?
Yeah, just the three
of them. Bryce, I agree with you where I think Kinsey could do very well, but I'm saying three.
I think he's saying Tiffany's going to weigh her options and say, I need Kinsey at merge with me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's hard. Again, this is what I'm talking about. All of y'all people saying the first four episodes suck, right? They have given us enough, but not enough for us to really be like,
coming
whose
back
side
for
is
more.
Tiffany on?
Yeah.
And again, now that Banu is out, now we have the common denominator is out. Now it's like, where are the chips really going to crumble?
For sure.
Jack has to go get a snack.
Oh, I thought this was the bathroom.
He's going to go to the bathroom real fast. I want to, before we wrap up, get to the thing, I want to pose something, probably more a statement, but I thought it was a question. I feel the new era, I was able to come to this last night. I feel like everyone in the first third of the new era is just playing the outlast part. No one wants to really stick their head too high. They don't want to outwit. They don't want to outplay. I just need to outlast to the swap, to the merge, what have you. And I need some people that are trying to outwit people. And I really think what hurts it is the one tribe going constantly. And I just think that if you're a future Survivor player and you go out there, you need to outlast the rest of them, but don't forget to outplay and outwit also.
Yeah.
Do we think that's a change in the meta though, or do we think that is just a strategy that's been adopted because of the new era?
I think it's a lot of different things, right? I think that post the new era, we used to have recruits. We used to have a mix of a lot of different people. Then when we get the new era, right, we've got all of these gamers, and they are sniping the big players before they even have a chance to. And now
anyone
it's
that pops
like,
their head up.
Right. And so now we kind of have like this mix of
people. I just said this to you. I can't stand you. You're literally taking my argument that I had with you on the phone.
Bryce is like, and then
I'm gonna take it back. Yes.
No. Wait, time out.
No. No, you can't do this. How did I do my take? How did I do?
Wait, what's the argument?
My take is, first of all,
wait a minute. Time out, Jack. I just gave you half the argument. What you're not about to do is then ask Wendell.
What was the take, Wendell? I missed it. Yeah.
I was asking in general. Bryce, what's the take that's yours?
I'm glad you got that, Alex.
He's a thief, and he's doing you're doing better than Banu, Bryce, actually. But my take is you had pre-new era,
I had to argue you to get some gamers to
and recruits to where it's like, all right, some recruits are like just street savvy, or they're just
Chris Noble.
Yeah, some recruits are good enough to do some things, right? And some are not. And then you got all these game bots early in the new era to where they're sniping anybody that they sniff out doing anything. And we're at a point now where it's like you have some Banus and some strange folks that aren't necessarily, they might watch the game and whatnot, but they're giving us what the recruits gave us in that, like, these are people that are almost disposable or snipeable or whatever that aren't playing this high level game. So now we have, it's not all early new era where it's all people that know and are gonna snipe those threats. It's I think we now have a better mix of people that are in a similar position to those recruits that are just like, all right, y'all are here playing something, but these Survivor players are gonna show you what Survivor looks like.
Yeah. I've always liked those players though, because to me, like, the really good players know how to operate around them. Oh, even though this person's not like a big strategist, I know they value X, Y, and Z. I'm going to appeal to that. Or I know this Philip has beef with Francesca, so I'm going to exploit that. Like, that's where the good players in my mind, because if everyone's playing optimally, it becomes a totally different game, as weird as that sounds.
For me, right, and I'm not being biased, like, a player that I like that's playing right now is a Hunter, right? Because I feel like he is keeping his ear to the streets. He is laying low, but he's also planting seeds. And I feel like, and as they are coming, he is taking them and rolling with them. But, like, I just love how savvy Hunter is. And even when we're thinking about the challenge with when Dr. Maria kind of was like struggling a little bit, but she kept on going. The only thing that I kept thinking about though was like, because you know Hunter got all of these stuff in his basement, I just wonder what the pole in Hunter's basement looked like.
Yeah. You got me. I was so ready. I was like, oh, okay.
No, I think Hunter's in a good spot. I also think, to my general 2 cents on this point of, like, the thing is, Alex, I think optimal gameplay now is to just stick tight and not rock the boat early on.
Well, I think it's Sandra inspired. These new players are like, hey, the first 8, 7, 9 votes or what have you, I'm going to lay low. As long as it's not me and it's, you know, people I like, we can work with that. Yeah.
But can y'all keep it a buck and be honest that, like, yeah, it's smart and it's great, but it makes for not great Survivor early in the beginning.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah, that's why I brought it up. Yeah, because it is a balance of, we want to see people play really well. We want to see strategists, super fans living out their dreams. But I do think this is what I started off saying. I want more Banus. I want people out there that these players need to play around, factor into their games, and decide if it's a liability enough to take Phillip to the end, or if you cut Banu early on. I think these are interesting decisions. Yeah. I think it becomes a little weird, not weird, but like it's just almost like shoehorned when there's just one player like that, though. I want a couple. I need some recruits, I think.
He
agreed.
Let's even be more specific. I really feel like this style kind of started on season 43, like James Jones's season, because we saw a lot of it where it was like people were not making big moves.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating. Here's another hot take, right? Can we get two tribes? Like, I would love to see a new era of two tribes and see how that works out, because I would love to just kind of see that.
I've been a defender, but this is the first cycle that I'm saying this is, and it's specifically 42 is the only season in the new era that one tribe has not been almost decimated. It is such a weird dynamic of the two tribes get their fire, water, shelter, all that early on, and the one tribe just keeps losing and does whatever they can to hang on by the skin of their, you know, Lulu tribe buffs. Like, it's, I want to see two tribes. I want to see a back and forth. I want to see, like, it is more interesting when it is a tribe of 10 or a tribe of 5. Then we're getting different dynamics. Right now, we just have three kind of tiny tribes.
Yeah.
Also, you know, more people gives you more options.
With six, there's only three votes there can be. 5-1, 4-2, 3-0, or 3-3, excuse me.
It's tough, and I actually generally love a three tribe season, but it's getting stale for sure. I don't know.
The players are too good. They know how to play in a three tribe format now. They've seen it 5-6 seasons in a row. They're all watching.
And I think the loss of Rice and a Flint is also huge. Where once your tribe loses one, you're gonna be hungry. You're gonna be tired. It's gonna escalate the issues you're already having. I also recently saw some post about, you know, which tribes have been on which beaches in the new era. And I think 5 out of 6 winners have come from the same beach. They were also on tribes that dominated the pre-merge. And from what I know, like, that's a beach that might have a little bit more food, a little bit more resources. And so, of course, what do you really do in terms of, you know, the beaches are the beaches. But the way you balance that is, like, make sure every tribe has food, like, has rice. For me, I don't care about them not having rice. Like, I don't want to watch people just absolutely wrecked out there.
I think it's their answer to the 26 days, but I just don't know it's, like, the correct answer.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I guess the last, I definitely think there's room to improve here. And I completely agree with the sentiment that you guys said. My other question I wanted to put a wrap up on this specific episode of Survivor is they don't vote at the end. And I think we kind of all agreed. I personally wasn't a fan because it takes away any suspense. It also takes away any options. It takes away a world. Maybe Tiffany is a little paranoid and she plays her idol or something. It takes away.
What if one person does decide to deflect? It would create so much drama. Like, oh my God, I thought we were actually voting out Kenzie. I was misled or whatever. Like, it just takes all agency out of the players' hands.
And of course it didn't seem like it was going to occur this episode. But I also think in the future where, say, you're in a similar situation and maybe I'm Kenzie in the future and I think Bonu's going home, but now we need to vote. And I'm like, could that tip me off to the fact that, you know, something is going.
Oh, down? Why do we need to vote? If he doesn't have a vote or an idol, why do we need to vote? People will be like, oh my God, maybe he does have an idol. You're right, Jack. And these players are smart. If someone's like, this is a slam dunk 5-0, they lost their vote. Jeff should probably be like, let's wrap this up. Let's go home. But if he doesn't, they're going to be like, what's going on?
Exactly. That could create false. I mean, and also, like,
it's a bad precedent. It's a bad precedent.
Yeah. If I'm a player, I pretty much always want to. I mean, I don't mind, obviously, if we're getting rid of someone, it means I'm staying in. Cool. But I want to have that option to make a move if I want. And of course, had Kenzie and Tiffany been scheming a flip on Q or whatever, I'm sure they were going to vote, right?
Takes the possibility away. My good friend Brandon Donlan didn't get to vote last season because they just sent Hannah home. They were like, okay, you can go, Hannah. And I just, something about it doesn't sit right with me, even when Everyone wants that person to go. I just, just vote.
It lends a little more to Wendell's theory of like Jeff being like, yeah, it's time for Bono to
Let's
go.
Not risk this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other times it's happened is with Brandon Hance and Jeff Varner.
And then Hannah. I also don't think
Bono, well, that's, but that was a quit. You know what I mean? I don't, Bono didn't quit. And I don't think that Bono needs to be in the conversation with Varner and Brandon Hance.
He shouldn't be. There's no reason for it. Yeah. And it throws off the Wikipedia. When I, years later, I go back and look at that Wikipedia, I'm going to be like, what happened here?
Yeah, just that's the Wikipedia page you're going to be checking. The
Survivor 46. I need to remember how the early game went. Did Bono go third or fourth? I can't recall.
One of the most riveting early games of all time.
How would Jelinski have done?
You know what? I'm going to let y'all know.
I maintain if Jelinski had survived every vote and gotten the most votes at the end, I think he could have won.
His Instagram is at JackAtkins21.
Jacklinski.
To me, it's not an argument. If a Survivor 46 cast member wants to come to me, because I'm not saying any of the players are bad players. I'm not saying any of them are boring.
The sound bite.
No, I'm not saying that any of them are bad players, boring players, this or that. But just the events of, you know, the tribals and the medevac, it's like, if a 46er wants to be like, no, this is the best TV out there. Like,
I got a little insider info for those who stuck around to the end of the podcast. I know someone who works on Survivor very, very well. Season 45 was shot knowing that there were going to be 90-minute episodes, where season 46 was not shot with that in mind. They did not know they would continue. Take that as you will. I think that plays a little bit of what we've seen so far also.
I think so, too.
Yeah. This is like for the real fans. Only if you stuck around till the end here, you get to know this. And you didn't hear it from me. I'm just kidding.
Who they hear it from?
I'm joking. I blame it on Bono.
That's interesting because I could tell you from this episode at least two scenes that were added in. The jump scene, the Bono, like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Mm, yep. That's very interesting.
Yeah. It makes a small difference, but I think it attributes to what some people are trying to verbalize a little.
Yeah. But that's the thing too. I don't mind like some of these silly camp life scenes. I like them.
I watch all the secret scenes, so like I don't dislike them. But 45, the pacing was crisp and it was there. And you could tell like when everything was going down. Like the pacing's really weird this season so far. The first two episodes were 2 hours. It's just it's
but I love it. Throw us off. Don't give me another fast.
Well,
I agree. I like having
more because like Bryce said, it sets things up for down the line. And I never am mad at seeing more. But yeah, it's just these, you know, that's why I have a lot of high hopes for next episode because no matter who loses immunity, I think we'll have an interesting tribal, knock on wood. And so next season I could be back here totally being like, that was one of the best episodes of the new era. So I don't, if you're-
So hold your horses, season 46 cast. Yeah. Don't attack Jack yet.
Yeah.
Wait till next week.
Yeah, until next week.
Then it's Jack 21. No.
Jack 21. But also remember, 46, Bryce and I love you.
Okay.
We rock with you, so don't put that on Survivor News.
This is me. I am very critical as an audience member. I was critical as a player too. So I feel like I've been there. I've taken the criticism. It all comes from a place of love. If you can step out and put yourself on TV, I applaud you first and foremost for that. I appreciate you sharing your journey with me. Anything I say is from an audience standpoint. I've never played Survivor. I could be saying all the dumbest stuff in the world. I just love the game so much, and I love being I love being able to talk about it with other people that love it. So,
Alex, Jack has never given that.
Okay, Alex just threw Jack under the bus.
Wait, what? Why did? How did I?
No, we're good. They're trying to step off.
Yeah, what? I don't even know. I didn't even say Jack's name.
Can we just put Jack's photo up and let those words speak?
They're going to say, I never close out a podcast with that much humility. So. I'll talk my head.
No, I just love. I like study this stuff now. I love watching it. It's like a study of humans sociologically. What would you do for $1 million? Or in this case, what would you do for 1 million hearts? Yeah, that's right.
Do we need to speak on that?
We should.
No, because I don't want to pour on him. Okay. Because well, I mean,
It was a great quote.
And then, if you want to win a million hearts, you should go volunteer.
Volunteer.
But here, is there a world though? Like, let somebody say that to me. Okay, I'm taking you to the end. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
that's like,
you could win a million hearts in second place. Yeah. Here's my question to wrap us up, or I don't know how long we have. Can you win the $1 million and a million hearts at the same time?
Gabler.
Look at Wendell Waller.
Not
exactly.
No.
Bryce said, don't look there. Just stick with Gabler.
Yeah, I don't. So I'd say Gabler.
Yeah. No, I think it's totally possible. And this is what I wanted to scream to Banu. You can do both. You can do both. I promise. Don't sell yourself short.
But see, also, like, again, I think. And again, because I love Banu, I also think Banu went out there like kind of sort of how I went out there with Kagyan. I don't think I went out there with the intention to win. Well, I know I didn't. Yeah. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think Survivor needs these people that are out there for the adventure of a lifetime, if you will. That is a good version of a fan that's not a recruit that would be playing the game maybe differently than most super fans.
Agreed. That's it. It's like, when you get the super fans, a lot of people are going to play very similarly based on these last few episodes they've seen and the history of the game. Whereas if you get these wild cards, you don't know what's about to happen, and it might be playing for a million hearts.
But, well, I thought Bonnie was a great casting choice. So
no, absolutely.
10 out of 10.
1,000%. Yeah. But also,
he won my heart at the end there. He got it, though.
But what I also do love about them casting super fans, sometimes it's not like, no shade. Sometimes it's not the great players that we get. Sometimes it is the Jelinskis. And I kind of always love those players.
I'm totally with you. We need both. We can't have every super fan be amazing and awesome. It's part of the diversity of like the show and the game. We need a Jacob Derwin every once in a while. You need a Jelinski every once in a while to be like, oh, they don't all know what they're doing.
And it's not even that you don't know the game. Sometimes it really, and here I go, fourth episode, and I'm bringing up damn James Jones, right? James Jones says this to me all the time, right? Like, it's lived experiences. And James Jones has the statistic that the most Survivor winners fall in the range of 32 to 43. Like, most of the winners fall in that age range, and it's like, I haven't gotten there yet, but when I do, it's like, I get it, you know. Sometimes it's like, you could be book smart, but you're not street smart. And
I understand it's connecting with people of all walks of life, and when you're a bit older, you have more experiences to relate with. When you're 21, you're like, oh, I'm in college, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I work a job at this. Then you're like, I don't know anything about that, like, it's harder to relate.
So, yeah, that's why Wendell won Ghost Island, but
I'll take it.
How old were you when you won Ghost Island?
33.
Mm. Wow.
And that's always been my thing. If you're in your 30s, that is the time to win Survivor.
Oh, I totally get that. I'm 30 now, so I have joined the club. I get it.
Yeah. On Kagyan, Bryce was?
I was in my 20s.
Yeah, you were in your 20s, and it was 17 years ago. So.
No.
Wendell, that math I just said, I was like, 17 years? That can't be true.
It has been a decade this year, though. It is crazy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow, that's nuts.
Well, you're still in your 20s, right?
I am.
Still, yeah.
I just turned 20 when I was on. I wasn't even 20 when I filmed Kagyan, but when it aired, I was 20. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Listen, I'm not about to argue with y'all, okay?
29 and a half.
Yeah.
Alex, it's so great to have you. Thank you for coming back. We might need you to return. Well, listen, we'll have to check the tweets. if they want you to return, maybe we'll have you back.
We'll leave it up to the people. No, I'm really grateful that you guys asked me back. I have a fun time talking with all of you. Always great to see my good buddy Jack here. And like I said, I'm just such a Survivor super fan. So I appreciate you letting me come on and just gush with you guys.
Listen, it's the least we could do, okay? If we had $1 million, we'd give it, but, you know, here's
I'll take the hearts.
Here's a million hearts.
I'll take them. Give me all them hearts.
Wendeezy, thank you again. Also, Jack Atkins, appreciate you. We are rooting for you. If you do not know, this Sunday, Jack Atkins is in a celebrity boxing match in the Purple Pants Posse. I need your support to support my baby boy, okay?
We're going to need it.
He's got the Jelinski reach.
I'm flying out Bonnie to come pray for me.
His negotiations with God were not the best. Maybe not the manager you want.
I did hear that somebody did say Jelinski is training.
Well, actually, Jelinski's lives in Vegas, but he's going to be out of town this weekend, unfortunately. I was going to walk out with Jelinski.
That would have been great. He could have chucked an hourglass before you. That would have been epic.
I would have stopped. I might stop up by you halfway through.
But before we go, how are you feeling going into it, Jack?
It's a great question. I think I need Q to coach me on my answer here.
Jeff, it's time to vote.
Yeah. I'm chilling.
Vibing.
Homies, it should be hopefully a good time. We're also wearing a lot of protective gear.
What protective gear?
We're wearing like headgear, mouth guard, most cushioned gloves.
A cup.
Yup.
Can't hit below the belt. What is this, MMA?
Yeah, I don't know why we need a cup, but I'm always happy to protect the jewels. I don't know. It should be a fun weekend. Baby boy's broke, so totally willing to sell my body for money. So
not this.
Well, listen, Jack, we support you. You know, we will be your cheerleaders. We will be watching here on the East Coast. And if you guys want to tune in to support Jack Atkins, he has it on his page, 21 yeah. Jack Atkins. And listen,
46 cast, check it out.
Pay-per-view is only, I think, $15. So it's not your classic pay-per-view where it's like 60. So if you want to...
I'm excited. It's not the first time you were going to do this. The other one got canceled, right?
Exactly. I did train a little bit for that. If you're a 46er who doesn't like me, you're definitely smart.
This was all a ploy to get people to watch. It's like a dunk contest. He had to make himself super unlikable before the
fight. I'm not going to shit talk my opponent, but I will.
46?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to leave Brett Brown alone, but 46, I'm coming 46. For you.
Yeah, nobody specific, just the pacing. Just the pacing of the episodes.
He's like, I'm meeting the editors in the back. Yeah. We're going outside.
Yup. Maybe I'll meet with a CBS person. But anyways, it's Sunday night, so.
All right.
I'm going to get the pay-per-view, Jack. Bryce, you coming over to watch?
See. I will be there. All right, this has been your Survivor News. We'll be back next week covering episode 5, and we'll see how the pace go. We'll see how Jack.
I think I'm gonna like the next episode.
You have to now.
Yeah.
You backed yourself into a corner. You're just kidding.
Buckle in.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. The Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.